Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's The People versus Standard & Poor's. A new federal lawsuit says S&P did a lot to cause the financial crisis by defrauding the public about the risk of mortgage-backed securities. We'll hear some of the evidence, including how one S&P internal message said they'd rate anything, even if it was structured by cows. With me to talk about this is Felix Salmon, finance blogger for Reuters. Hi, Felix. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Remind us of the basics here, what a rating agency does and how that might have helped cause the housing bubble.
Well, you remember the financial crisis when everyone got very excited about things called collateralized debt obligations and mortgage-backed securities and these things. They're all flavors of something called structured finance, structured products. Basically, what you do is you throw a bunch of financial instruments into a blender, and they can be mortgages, or they can be other kind of structured products, or they can be just about anything, really. And out the other end comes what looks on its face a lot like a bond. And it has a steady cash flow, just like a treasury bond. It pays you a certain amount of money, every year, and then it pays off the principal. And there's an interest rate on the bond. And the problem is that it's all the result of this crazy sort of financial alchemy, which is incredibly difficult to understand. And so when you go out and sell the bond to investors, to people in Dusseldorf or in California, those investors go, we don't really understand this crazy financial blending that you've been doing. How can we be sure that we're going to get our money back if we buy this bond? And what the financial institutions do is they say, well, listen, don't worry about it. We've had the experts look at this and rate it. And they have given it a AAA rating. And the experts are these things called ratings agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's. And they have given it exactly the same credit rating that they give to the U.S. government. This is safe as you can possibly get. It's not going to default. You will get your money back. Don't worry. And so on the strength of that, the investors go, oh, okay, well, obviously these people understand it. We don't, but we'll buy it anyway.
So the main charge here is fraud. The company's defense seems to be that they sure got a lot of things wrong in their ratings during the bubble, but so did a lot of other people, including the government in its assessment of risk, Ben Bernanke in his assessment of the larger situation. So it was errors of judgment, which are not fraud. Is that how S&P is defending itself?
Yes, the standard S&P defense has normally been, it's sort of ironically, given the conversation you just had, a First Amendment defense. They said, "Hey, we have the right to free speech. We can say whatever we like." That defense isn't actually open to them in this case because the government isn't denying that they can say what they want, but they're saying that what they said was fraudulent and that they were basically, purporting to give impartial ratings when in fact what they were doing was putting out exactly the ratings that would make them the most money rather than things which were actually true. They knew that these bonds were not AAA and they kept on giving out AAA ratings anyway.
So, for example, on the CBS Evening News last night, I heard them talk about one exchange of instant messages between two S&P analysts where one complains about a good rating given to a certain mortgage-backed security that he says has more risk than the model they're using to rate it would measure, and then says they'll rate anything these days, even if it was structured by cows. Are you familiar with that exchange?
it's a classic exchange, and as I like to say, it's not actually true because they won't rate anything unless you get paid somewhere between $250,000 and $750,000 to rate it. And the cows don't have that kind of money. But if you did manage to find a multimillionaire cow with $750,000, then yes, S&P really would rate that. And that was the problem, that they were doing what they were paid to do rather than doing what was actually what they said they were doing, which was giving impartial ratings.
And listeners, we have a link on our webpage where you can read some of these emails. Maybe you heard about the one that's a video parody of the Talking Heads song, Burning Down the House, burning down all the houses. They are quite something, these emails. But you put your finger on a nub of the issue, which is conflict of interest. Ratings agencies used to be independently funded, but they started charging the very banks whose investment products they were rating, giving the banks leverage over what ratings they got. But that doesn't make it fraud.
There is a conflict of interest. They never did used to be independently funded. The conflict of interest has been there since day one. But no one's really. But what happened is that historically, what the ratings agencies would do was rate companies and governments, and the companies and the governments would be around, forever. And the ratings agencies would just look at those cash flows and the financial strength of those institutions and say, you're strong, you're weak, and everyone could look at the same information, and they would build a reputation based on these sort of permanent entities. What changed is that they moved, or they built up these huge new businesses in structured finance where they weren't rating real-world entities like companies and governments, but instead they were rating these sort of Frankensteinian monsters with names like CDO Cubed. And at that point, they became the only game in town, and it no longer... The ratings of those instruments were kind of one-off things, which they got paid $500,000 for. Wow. Literally like 15 minutes work. And then it goes out, it gets sold, and they never need to worry about it again. And one of the big things in the complaint is that even after they knew that their models weren't working and the house prices were falling and that defaults were going up and that these things weren't nearly as safe as they said they were, they didn't bring down the ratings in line with what they knew.
We just have a minute left. But to me, this is probably the most serious and central charge of any that's been brought since the financial crisis. The other cases mostly involve Wall Street firms defrauding other sophisticated investors. If S&P defrauded the public, they really allowed the bubble to inflate when they could have prevented it, affecting everybody. It's one of the biggest national outrages of our lifetimes, if it's true. So if the government wins this case, do a lot of people get their foreclosed on homes back?
Well, you know the answer to that one. But it's interesting. If the government wins this case, then that will open up S&P to a bunch of other cases from individuals and investors who lost money.
Including pension funds. That was another big loss. Pension funds that invested in these securities based on S&P's promise of low risk, right?
Exactly. This is the losses of the investors. This isn't necessarily the losses of the houses, although, of course, everything is related. But this is the losses of people who thought their money was safe and who turned out to lose most or even all of it in some cases.
We'll be watching the suit, obviously. Felix Salmon, finance blogger for Reuters, thank you very much.
Thank you.